Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHP. It's Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. Stephen St. John and Jake Katera is in studio. Nate Buchiti, where are you?
I'm in the hot box at McFadden
I'm
studio.
I'm ordering an egg white omelet and some fresh fruit.
Well, it's not really, it's not hot in here today. I don't know if they heard your complaints or if they just haven't turned the heater on yet, but it's actually...
I'm hot-blooded.
You are hot-blooded, like the Foreigner song goes. Foreigner, right? That's right, right?
Whatever you say.
Down here getting ready for the Miller Lite Fan Fest, which will be tipping off here in, well, the first game of the day is in 3.5 hours from now. Big crowds expected for Central Florida and BYU. I'll be interested to see, you know, how BYU fans travel. They're a national brand. They have a, you know, they have a nationwide fan base because of their religious connection. So I don't know if they'll, travel well here. I don't expect to see a ton of people from Central Florida here today. But then, of course, evening session, Kansas State will be playing against Texas, and Kansas will be playing against Cincinnati. So it should be a very good atmosphere down here this evening. I know you're going to come down and join. Well, not today. You're coming down tomorrow. What's your schedule?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay. So today I get the whole stage to myself, baby. I just get to be up there entertaining everybody.
Yeah, you're going
to
get that tomorrow, too. You just don't know it.
Well.
There it is.
What the crowd wants.
Attention, Hornate Buchiti on full display.
Yeah.
Let's now check in with Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Matt, good morning. How are you?
I am just trying to wrap my arms around BYU and Central Florida being a Big 12 basketball game
right
in Kansas City.
That's exactly right. Okay, so we have lots to talk about here. Yesterday it was reported by Adam Schefter that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs restructuring his contract to create an additional $21.6 million worth of salary cap space for the Chiefs. As today, of course, all teams must become cap compliant. And now the Chiefs have some wiggle room, and they can either keep L'Jarius Sneed on the franchise tag, they could sign him to an extension, or they can have some leverage and demand and hold out for the best possible return in a trade. And really, I'm pretty good with all of those outcomes because the Chiefs aren't forced to do anything. And I will mention, while the Chiefs are in a real good spot right now, the Chargers are not. As right now, according to several reports I'm looking at, they're around $25 million over the cap, and they must make decisions right now on Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams. And so what I say is, go ahead and release Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and let the games begin. Matt Derrick.
Yeah, those are the two names to watch. I mean, they would be absolutely incredible additions to the free agent market at receiver, especially since, you know, Calvin Ridley looks like he's going to be staying in Jacksonville. We'll see if that ends up getting done, but it certainly seems like that's the direction things are going. And honestly, I mean, I think those two would be absolute best fits in Kansas City. How about that? Both of them would come to Kansas City. I mean, I don't think that's the likelihood. I don't think it'd be a combo deal or anything. But Mike Williams, I think, would absolutely be a perfect fit. Keenan Allen, I mean, both of them have had injury issues in the past, and that's always going to be the concern. And Keenan Allen's a little bit older too, so it's not. There are some concerns, but yeah, that would electrify the free agent crowd there at wide receiver for absolutely sure. And I think the Chiefs would be interested in both or either one of them.
Yeah, he might be 31 years old, but he also had 108 catches for 1,243 yards last year. So if Keenan Allen wants to get cute and come on to Kansas City, let's go.
He's still got some juice in him, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, boy. So you tell me, Matt Derrick, you've been investigating the situation. What are the Chiefs going to do now that they've restructured Mahomes' contract? What's next for the Chiefs?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, they have a little bit of room. I mean, depending upon which of the estimators you look at, you know, they've got around maybe $15 million in cap space to play with here. It's not a huge amount, but it's enough. And you're right. I mean, then you've got the Legarius Sneed situation. If you trade Legarius, that's another $19 million you can clear. I mean, that puts the Chiefs up over $30 million in cap space. I mean, that's some room to go, well, have some fun. Absolutely. I haven't, even though they have a little bit of cap space, I haven't gotten the sense they absolutely want to blow it all in one place. I mean, it certainly seems like Brett Veach wants to be pretty judicious about where he spends the money because, you know, free agency is not over. You know, I mean, we're barely just getting in kind of the second wave of free agency right now. There's multiple waves and honestly, you know, there's a lot of Chiefs players that are still on the free agent market that, hey, if their prices continue to come down, the Chiefs are probably going to get interested in bringing some of them back. We'll see. I mean, Willie Gay going to New Orleans, the price he went for kind of surprised me. I thought he would get a little bit more than that and maybe even, a multiple-year deal. But, you know, if you're already talking about Willie Gay, you know, getting $3 million contract with a $5 million max, you know, there may be some other Chiefs players that come back at a bargain price, and at that point, you know, I think the Chiefs would be interested.
And the guys, obviously, that you're talking about, Mike Dana is still out there. Tershawn Wharton is a nice player. Derek Nnadi is available. Mecole Hardman is out there. And look, they got to figure out left tackle, and so that's something they need to address. And so let's focus on that for a moment before we get back into wide receivers. We had Joel Corey on the show, and he said, Tyron Smith would be someone that the Chiefs should be interested in. You've got other options that are out there as far as he mentioned Mekhi Becton as well. And look, they're going to have some warts, whether it's age, whether it's injury history. Is there a veteran free agent that you see out there that makes more sense than the others?
I mean, you're just talking about purely getting a veteran to come in and start for you and be that kind of player. I mean, Tyron Smith is it. I mean, that's the guy. I mean, David Bakhtiari, you know, has had so many injuries the last few years that one, I think, would be a tough one to trust, especially, you know, for good money. I mean, Bakhtiari's the kind of player I think you would only want to come in if you could really get it fairly incentive-laden, a lot of game day roster bonuses. I mean, you look at, like you talked about some of the players at this point having warts, there's no perfect player out there. Tyron Smith is a little bit older too, but that's the one guy that would fit. Now, it just depends on what the Chiefs want to do. I mean, if, you know, Brett Veach told us at the Combine that they want to add competition at that position. So Tyron Smith is more than competition. I mean, he'd come in and take the left tackle job. So, you know, I don't know if that's what they're interested in. And we'll see what the market bears. I mean, maybe Tyron just won't be very expensive because a lot of teams have a left tackle. So who else is out there looking for one? That's the only thing that could drive up the price. If the Chiefs are going, you know, for more of the competition angle and looking to save some money, the name that I probably have my eye on is Charlie Heck. You know, he's been a versatile guy down for, you know, for Houston. I mean, he can play both sides. He's a free agent. And, oh, by the way, listen to the last name. Yeah, he's Andy Heck.
Yeah. Would he get along with the offensive line coach is the question.
Seems like he probably would.
Okay. Nate Kukane.
Matt, have you ever tried to raise a teenage boy?
I have not. And there for a moment when you started that sentence, I thought you were going to ask me if I had ever seen a grown man naked.
Wow. Well, it is Nate. You never know when he's going to bring something up like that. So,
I was just thinking about the interactions I had with my son last night, and just assuming that a father and son are always going to get along. I don't know if that's the case. But you're probably right. When it comes to the wide receiver market, to go back, are we done on do we want to keep talking about
if you want, if you want to derail the conversation, sure, we're done. Go ahead.
Well, no, I don't want to do that. Then we
can, do you have any opinions? Do you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation? Or you could change the subject. You know what, Nate Buchanan? You are a co-host.
Well, I'll stick with it then.
We've been up in a plane before.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
There you go.
There we are. No, I don't want to yank the steering wheel into the ditch any more than I already have. So to stick with the left tackle situation, you mentioned, you know, Heck would be the kind of guy that would be more like a competition type thing. If they have all this cap space, why not find the guy that is the guy at left tackle for a while? Or do you think it's even more likely that they could use draft capital they have this year to draft the guy at left tackle for the next few years so they don't have to keep doing this dance every single year of finding somebody to be a stopgap?
Well, and, you know, and we're not even, you know, kind of even thinking about the fact that maybe Wanya Moore is just the guy. Maybe he will win that job. You know, he played, got some experience last year, and, you know, as Brett Veach said, hey, there was some good, there was some bad. I think the Chiefs have closed the door on that possibility that maybe he is the guy. Now, yeah, I mean, there's a possibility that maybe that's what they're going to be looking at with their first-round pick, and maybe they do want, if they get the luxurious need, you know, trade done, they've got a little bit more currency. Maybe now you get a chance to play with the board a little bit and move up. If there's a left tackle that you really like that comes on down, there looks to be, you know, a pretty good group, three or four, you know, left tackles at the top of the draft. That we'll see how quickly they go. I mean, I think that if you get the one that, you know, Nick Jacobs and I over on the 41 is the Mike podcast, we've been drooling over Joe Alt. And I think you probably have to get to the top seven to get that. So I don't know if that's possible. But, you know, hey, if you do trade Legarius Sneed, then you've got some capital, you can move up. And so if there is a tackle that you're enamored with, you can move up and get it. And like you said, Nate, then you could get maybe somebody who is your left tackle for the next, you know, bulk of the next decade.
All right, Matt Derrick, let's move on to wide receivers. And there's some smoke out there, but I still think there's at least an outside chance Hollywood Brown could be a Chief. Jake is very resistant of that. He's turned his nose up at that, and he said, to be honest with you, he might stop following the team if they sign Hollywood Brown. I think that's excessive. I think that's ridiculous. But Jake, he drew his line in the sand, and that's where it's at. Is that even a discussion, Hollywood Brown? Because I think Jake, to be honest, is more concerned about the price tag. First, tell me about the player and how he matches up with what the Chiefs want. And then if you think it's reasonable to even talk about him considering what price tag he might command.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you're talking about Marquise Brown, I mean, you're talking about explosive, athletic, speed player. So, you know, that's the one thing that the Chiefs have been kind of missing, you know, since Tyreek Hill left, has been the guy that can take up the top of the field. That's the guy who can do it. I mean, he's a big play down the field kind of guy. The question is, and the concern is that, you know, he's not Tyreek Hill. I mean, he's had 1,000-yard seasons. His numbers have definitely regressed the last couple of years. He hasn't necessarily been a guy who's been injury prone, but there's always been some things here and there, it seems like, especially the last couple of years. He's only played, I think, I'm looking at it now, 26 games over the last 2 years. Last year wasn't a great season. I mean, and that's the question is, you know, what's the price tag going to be and what are you paying for? I mean, are you paying for the guy that was a 1,000-yard receiver for a season for Baltimore? Or are you paying for the guy at 574 yards for Arizona last year? I mean, that's the guy that you're probably getting. So is that a $16 million a year receiver? I'm not sold on that. I mean, is he an $8 million receiver? I mean, that's what Marquez Valdez-Scantling was. I mean, to me, it's a lot about price, and I think with Marquise, I mean, that's the guy that I don't believe he's an elite receiver. I mean, I don't believe he's a top end market guy. So if you're talking about giving out $10 million plus, I would have been a lot more comfortable with Darnell Mooney doing that than I would be with Marquise Brown. You know, he's got two franchises that he's you know, kind of gone through. I mean, that's another kind of red flag. You sounded very ambivalent when you started to bring up Marquise Brown, Stephen. I'm kind of with you too. I mean, to me, there's just a lot of question marks. There's not a lot of confidence, and I think there's receivers that, you know, are better fits for the Chiefs scheme. I mean, Brown with the speed, no doubt. I mean, that's the one thing that he can do. He can take on the top of the field and he can be a deep threat. That's the one thing that the Chiefs would love to have. But I look at a guy like Curtis Samuel, and I think that's a guy that I think would fit much better into the Chiefs scheme. It would be a lot safer fit and probably a cheaper guy too.
I agree with many of the things you said, although I don't think it's totally fair to judge him by his numbers, considering the people who have been throwing him footballs.
That is absolutely fair, especially the last couple of years.
Yeah, like what last year was 8 games of Josh Dobbs and 8 games of that version of Kyler Murray. And before, it was Kyler Murray, Colt McCoy, David Blow, what's the blue? Bluff? I can't remember his name. Trace McSorley. And then, you know, everyone's favorite MVP, Lamar Jackson. And sorry, he's I don't feel like he's the most accurate downfield passer in the world. So I think the version you would see of Hollywood Brown here would be much different. And I just think his unique skill set, I mean, and Nate, you said this before too, get me a guy that can take the top off the defense, right? And I'm with you guys about the price tag. It's not, you can't just say I want him and not be concerned about what it costs. But I love to have him. I like Curtis Samuel too. I'd be happy with that. But hey, something's going to happen soon. Nate Bucati, your witness.
Yeah. So Matt, you mentioned that Darnell Mooney was a guy that you like as an elite receiver or whatever the term is, as a top tier wide receiver that's available or was available. Anybody else in this market that you think really does fit that category? Because I do feel like we're talking about a lot of guys that have question marks. You know, that you're still going to have to pay a lot of money for.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And it's one thing I think that, you know, Chiefs fans kind of have to put in their perspective, too, is that if you're Brent Veach, I mean, one, there's not a number one top-tier receiver out there. I mean, those guys are all locked up. The guys who have hit free agency, especially this year, I mean, we talked about, you know, Steven mentioned it. I mean, everybody's got warts. I mean, there's no one who's just the perfect, you know, number one receiver that's out there. There's guys who have been a number one receiver before. I mean, Michael Thomas is available. He's 31, and he's not Michael Thomas anymore. Odell Beckham Jr. is 31, not OBJ anymore. Allen Robinson's 30. He's not himself anymore. There's some great names, but that's just not necessarily what they are. And especially after what the Chiefs went through last year at receiver, you know, I get the sense that they are much more focused on fit, you know, whether they fit the scheme. It's not about just taking a player and saying, hey, we're going to – this guy's got a lot of athleticism. This guy's got, you know, a lot of tools. They'll fit in. We'll just find a way to squeeze them in. I get the sense that they're really looking for, you know, a player that – and players that really fit what they want to do, that they pick up the offense quickly and that it won't be a huge adjustment. But they're not looking for a number one receiver. They've got one. I mean, whether you want to see that it's Travis Kelce, it's the number one receiver, Rashee Rice, even if he's only 5% better than he was last year, Rashee Rice could be a 1,000-yard receiver this year. I mean, you don't need to go out and get a 1,000-yard guy. You've got potentially two of them right now. What you need are complements. What you need are, you know, players who can just come in, fit in, and knows their role, will accept it, do the job. And that's why, you know, to me it seems like, you know, and certainly fitting in with what the Chiefs want to, which is, you know, to find a young guy. Curtis Samuel's 27, but I think that's still within the ballpark of what you'd accept. Cedric Wilson from Miami's 28. You know, that's, I think, a possibility. I mean, and even though we're talking about age and everything like that, you're talking about Keenan Allen, Mike Williams becoming available. I mean, those two guys, you put them on the market right now, to me, would be the top two guys on the market. And we'll see if either one of them hits it today. I think there's a chance at least one of them will. And if I'm Chiefs, in that case, I'd get interested in a hurry.
I mean, I'd love to have Hollywood Brown, to be honest with you. But if they can't get him, I'd be happy with Curtis Samuel. And then, you know, I don't want to get too excited about hypotheticals, but one of those Chargers receivers becomes available. Let's get it on. But Tyron Smith would make me so happy at left tackle. And these are all things that they can do. But a lot of it also is depending on what they do with L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed said all the right things yesterday when he was in town with Big Brothers Big Sisters. And again, a reminder that he's done great stuff in the community. I love L'Jarius Sneed off the field. And he's such a fun guy to talk to. And as Jake says, he got that dog in him. They can do anything with him now after the restructuring of Mahomes' contract. What do you think's going to happen? I said that now they're in a position where they only have to trade him when they hear the offer that they like. So what is it? What do you think they need to hear to trade L'Jarius Sneed, and do you think they'll hear it?
Yeah, and that's the thing, because we haven't really heard a lot from the Chiefs side, even just, you know, kind of leaks and rumors and everything about what they're looking for. So we don't know if Brett Veach is necessarily holding out specifically for a first-round pick. I think that if he gets a first-round pick back for L'Jarius Sneed, I mean,
oh my God.
I would give him GM of the year right now.
I'd kiss him. You know, I don't think he wants that, but I would. But move on.
I mean, it's just not been the going price for corners. And you look at elite corners. I mean, Jalen Ramsey didn't bring that back. You know, that's last year. I mean, you know, that's just not the going rate. So if they're holding out for that, then I don't think they're going to get it. But you never know. I mean, I think that they would love to be able to get a top 50 pick. So if they were able to get something in the first half of the second round, that would be great. I mean, if it's a later second-round pick, then I think you're certainly looking for at least another day three pick on top of it. So that would at least be consistent with the market and what has, you know, happened the last few years in the trade market, especially considering, you know, that even though L'Jarius I consider to be one of the best corners in the league, he is 27. And that's the difference between, you know, like the Jalen Johnson deal that just got done with the Bears and their franchise tag corner, who I think you could certainly put them in the same category. He's 24, just getting ready to turn 25. I mean, those years make a difference. And that's, I think, the challenge is, you know, with L'Jarius and finding a home is that, you know, teams are just afraid of the age, and because he is a little bit older for a guy coming off his rookie contract. And then you start looking around, and a lot of teams that sounded like they might be interested, I mean, Detroit signed some corners. Jacksonville was reportedly interested. They've signed the corner. Tennessee, you know, supposedly is the one that might be the most interested, but they just signed Awuzie. I mean, you know, for $7.5 million a year for 3 years. I mean, that, you know, there's some guys who have gone off the market. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough for me to see exactly what happens. So I think it's more likely, though, that as time goes on, that there's a chance that L'Jarius might stay, because if the price comes down, I mean, if it's not going to be a case of that L'Jarius is going to be able to get, you know, maybe what he wants, which, you know, maybe in that 18 to 20 category for a year, we don't really know exactly what L'Jarius was asking for, but that was kind of the perception. If the price now all of a sudden gets closer to 15 a year, on the Chiefs, I'm interested at that price. I mean, they can only go so high. And that's the other thing to consider, too, and this is what the tough thing for the Chiefs is that, you know, if you give L'Jarius Sneed a 3-year or 4-year contract, now all of a sudden he's going to overlap with the extension for Trent McDuffie. And that's the puzzle piece that Brett Veach and his staff have to figure out, is how would you be able to sign L'Jarius Sneed long-term and also fit in with a Trent McDuffie extension. If Trent McDuffie stays healthy and continues his career arc, is going to be even more expensive than Legarius. So that, to me, is the puzzle. I mean, that's kind of the math problem that the Chiefs have, and I think it's been one of the reasons that's kind of held them back is I think they would favor the younger, more upside, you know, bigger opportunity with McDuffie than putting all their eggs in Legarius' basket.
Do you think the Chiefs should sign Hunter Renfro so they can have all of the professional Hunter Renfros?
That would be quite a corner on the Hunter Renfro market.
Right.
Kansas City would be set there. You know, I mean, hey, all kidding aside, I mean, hey, he would be a nice addition.
Yes.
Once again. You know, certain price I'd be willing to pay. Can't be too expensive, but he can do certain things. And it's like, that's number four. Yeah, I'd be interested.
I totally forgot in 2021, he had 103 catches for 1,038 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Good God. And wouldn't it be fun to make him back into a weapon after the Raiders just discarded him? I mean, that would just get a little extra.
Well, and you mentioned it with Marquise Brown and his numbers with some terrible quarterback play the last couple of years. That's the lesson that you have to take away from the Marquez Valdez-Scantling experience, which was that, you know, the Chiefs invested in MVS with the idea that, hey, here's a guy that we just think maybe miscast, misused in Green Bay. We can get more out of him. And the reality of it was he was what he was because he was playing with Aaron Rodgers. He was playing with their Hall of Famer. I think if you're the Chiefs, you're definitely looking for receivers that have maybe underachieved with some questionable quarterback play rather than, you know, going out. That's why, like, even though I like Gabe Davis, that was the concern to me with Gabe Davis was, you know, he put up some decent numbers, but that was with Josh Allen. What are the chances he's going to be even better? I mean, he's getting paid like a guy who's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, and you don't know that. I mean, I think he's a nice complimentary number three kind of guy. I don't think he's a number one. And that's the thing you just can't do is you can't pay for number three receivers number one receiver money, and I don't think the Chiefs are interested in doing that. But, hey, if there's some guys that fall through the cracks and are guys that have proven that they can play and maybe their numbers are down just because they've had questionable quarterback play, that's a guy I think that you're interested in, especially if their price is depressed.
Hey, do you think they'll go shopping in the veteran free agent market and maybe a guy like J.K. Dobbins buy low and bring him in on a prove-it deal?
Yeah, that's a guy, I mean, I think would be at the top of my running back list right now because I think that's the guy that would absolutely pair the best with Isaiah Pacheco. We'll see if the musical chairs at running back and everybody's getting a starter. I mean, Dobbins is kind of a guy that's kind of out in the cold right now. Don't know what his asking price is, but that's the guy I would be most interested in. Clearly, the Chiefs had interest before. I don't think there's any reason why they wouldn't continue to be interested. It's just going to be at the right price.
We could keep him warm. Nate Buchanan, your final questions for Matt Derrick.
Are you more excited about BYU or Central Florida being in Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament right now?
Well, you know, you mentioned today, I mean, BYU is a national brand. And, you know, you feel like you got to, you know, be on the side of the fighting Andy Reid.
Well, there you go.
Yep, there it is.
See? So, yeah.
Will Big Red be here?
You never. That was my first thought. Maybe he is. Maybe he's going to come down for the game. You never know.
You think Kelsey will be at the Cincinnati KU game tonight?
Is he in town?
I don't know. Does it matter? He can fly in from anywhere at any time, at any moment.
Where's the Taylor Swift tour right now?
It would be on brand for Travis to be there, but I don't know if the Big 12 tournament's a big enough deal to come back in town for.
I don't know. But for his team to be favored against Kansas, late night game at T-Mobile Center, that might get it.
That might get it. You're right. That might get it done. I'm not going to bet against it because we know he loves the Bearcats.
Right. And again, it doesn't matter where he is. He could be anywhere in the world within hours. So, Jake, what are you looking at?
He's probably in Graz, Austria.
Thank you.
She doesn't play there till Saturday. He could come to this game and be on a jet and be there.
He's still probably there.
Right.
I don't know. He's in Europe somewhere.
Again, he could be wherever he wants.
That's right. And I think we know how Travis treats jet lag and what, you know.
How's he treated?
The bottle of Don Julio.
Wow. Finally.
Exactly.
I mean, it is the Miller Lite Fan Fest out here. He's been on stage at that before.
He sure has. Matt, any comments for Nate about the Mizzou-KU baseball game last night?
I missed it. What happened?
Mizzou won an extra innings 5-4.
Woo-hoo.
And left the tying run and the winning run stranded on second and third base with a called third strike in the 10th inning. So,
Nate, I'll say nice effort, nice try.
Got to swing the bat.
That's what I thought.
Got to swing the bat.
With that, there, finally, someone says something right when it comes to this. Nate, nothing from you?
I'm sorry, I just dozed off for a second.
Right,
what were we talking about?
Matt Derrick, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we will wait for the next big story to hit, hopefully today.
There you go. Take care, everybody.
That's Matt Derrick. He's terrific. So, what are the Chargers doing right now, you think?
mean,
like, what are they up to? And well, so right now, and they're like, what did I say, 25, 20, 26 million over the cap? They have four of the top 12 cap hits in the entire NFL, and none of them are a quarterback. Khalil Mack is number 6, over $38 million. Joey Bosa is number 8, with $36.5 million.
Worth it.
Keenan Allen is number 10, with almost $35 million. And Mike Williams is number 12, with $32.5 million. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that's impressive to me.
This is what happens when you are chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. And you are desperate, and you try to make these moves, and somehow, despite all of this, everyone's going to pick the Chargers to win the division next year.
No, they're not. Here's the, in case you're wondering, here's the top 12. Deshaun Watson's number one with a measly cap hit of $63.9
million.
Can they do anything to massage those numbers?
You know what? You will be thrown off the show.
No, you deserve a rim shot.
Dak Prescott, $59.4 million. Kyler Murray, $51.4
million. Oh.
Matt Stafford,
those are video game numbers.
Matt Stafford, $49.5 million. You want to take a guess who number five is? This will make you vomit in your mouth.
Don't say Derek Carr.
No. Way worse.
Is it a quarterback?
Yeah. Well, and I told you this was stupid when it happened.
Daniel effing Jones.
Yeah. $47.1 million. And remember their reaction was, well, you know, you kind of got us out. I'm like, no, you kind of don't. No, you kind of don't.
Good for Daniel Jones.
$47.1 million.
Danny Dimes.
Then there's Khalil Mack. Then there's some guy named Patrick Mahomes. Then Joey Bosa. Then Russell Wilson, for a team he doesn't play for. Then Keenan Allen. Then Aaron Donald. And then Mike Williams. The Chargers run this list.
Wow. Well, that's Nate. When we were talking,
can you imagine those trades? Like, hey, you guys want to know? You got to cut someone a couple of hours. Oh, come on, just give us something, would you? No,
This division has the situation that you just listed off for the Chargers.
How are you doing?
It has a team whose game plan at quarterback was to enter into the Sam Darnold sweepstakes and lost.
They went swinging for him. Here's the deal, and I'm telling you, he's going to be better than people think up there because of the weapons around him, and because of the coaching he's going to get. T.J. Hawkinson and Jordan Addison and now throwing Aaron Jones out of the backfield.
Aaron Jones.
And he's got a good offensive coach. I'm telling you, he's going to put up numbers that is going to make Denver feel even worse.
Yeah, and sitting behind Purdy for a year and Kyle Shanahan's system is going to definitely benefit him.
He hasn't been as good as him, but he might be next year's like Baker Mayfield, where he finally just goes somewhere and people, oh, you know what, he's not as bad as we thought, and then they start looking at the situations he was in. But I'm just telling you, you're right. Denver probably saw that, And Sean Payton, he's no dummy. I mean, we make fun of Denver. He didn't create that situation.
Right.
He knows what good quarterback play is. And so the fact that he was chasing him, too, says something. But it says more that they swung and missed on that.
Right.
Like, you know what? I can make something out of Sam Darnold. No, you can't, because he will not come here.
My point is, I don't disagree with you on Sam Darnold. Like, he's going to have a better year than probably people think. But I'm just saying that, like, that the high praise we're throwing at him is he's going to put up decent numbers with a great cast around him this year. Like, he's not that bad is the high praise we're giving him. That's who the Broncos were targeting, and they missed.
Well,
they fell short.
Yeah, they tried, though.
It did. They took it. Hey, man, valiant effort.
Gotta give him an F for effort. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Pete had a question. Why hasn't Tyler Boyd been discussed more on your show? Maybe you have and you didn't hear it. We have a lot, especially Jake. It's one of Jake's guys. Jake would love Tyler Boyd, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because I don't think you're going to have to overpay for it. I mean, you're going to have to pay market value.
But, Pete, I get it, man.
Yeah.
We're going through a lot of names, but Tyler Boyd, all of these names represent an upgrade. So I'm not going to be mad at any of them.
Nope.
Even DJ Chark. I'd be a little irritated, but not mad.
Nate's guy.
Right. No, as you could tell, I've taken a chance on him a couple times in fantasy football.
I can tell.
It's like, okay, this is not a nice bounce back candidate. And he just never, you know, it's like I throw him to the ground and he stays there. Like, bounce back. But, hey, I'm willing to look past that. But as you know, rotisserie baseball and fantasy football leads me to hold grudges.
Yeah.
But I got to get over it. That's, stop that. Thank you for listening to the show, Pete. Appreciate you.
Pete? No, I would say he's probably a top three or four guy for me. I think Curtis Samuel's at the top of the list for me. Just, look, if I had my druthers, it'd be Calvin Ridley. But that's not realistic. I'm being a realist. The guys that actually have an opportunity to be signed by this team, I think Curtis Samuel would be at the top of the list. Tyler Boyd would be probably second or third on that list.
Right.
I mean, you mentioned Osborne. I think he would be a nice fit. I mean, high upside. He, less proven than the other two guys, but like you said, all these guys would be upgrades.
Well, who's your top choice, Nate? I mean, you like DJ Chark, but that's not your top choice. Who's your top choice? Of the guys that are available, who would make you most happy?
Is Keenan Allen available?
Not yet.
Is he going to be?
You'd rather have Keenan Allen than Mike Williams? Just curious. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I mean,
off preference. The top of my head, well, No, maybe not. I mean, maybe I'd rather have Mike Williams. Mike Williams is 29.
Right. A little more injury with Mike Williams.
But I'll take Keenan Allen over Mike Williams.
They both have had injury histories, though, you know? I mean,
you'd rather have
my dude just had over 100 catches and 1,200 yards. You're asking me just like wide receiver for next year. I'm not thinking about it. I mean, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Yeah. I think he would be a freaking filthy.
If you're asking me who I want, you know, over the span of 4 years, I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about who I want next year.
I get it.
Heem. I would like to say got him. So. I don't know what else to tell you.
Got him!
But but here's the deal, fellas. I'm fine going Hollywood. You know? I know you guys don't, but that's great. To each their own.
I like the deep threat. Yeah. I do. They got to have somebody that stretches the field.
And it's not fair to judge him by the inaccurate quarterbacks that have been throwing him the football. Because this guy in Kansas City, from what I've seen, is different.
A little.
He's better.
Yeah, I want to mention. He'd also be playing for a better coach,
a little
better
different
offensive
than Colt
coach.
McCoy.
What?
A little different.
better arm than Josh Dobbs? Slightly. Hey, I want to mention again that hail. Did you guys get anything? Most of the hail was out.
I saw a lot
in Eastern Jackson County. I saw ping pong sized hail.
It was south of us. I mean, the clouds were very impressive last night.
That's exactly right.
And I heard some thunder and I saw some lightning, but it stayed dry out here in Oakland Park for the most part.
Blue Springs, Oak Grove areas out in Eastern Jackson County. Listen to me. All right? Don't fall victim to someone knocking on your door saying, hey, let me take a look at your roof, or I just saw some damage or whatever. You need to utilize your local roofer and someone you can trust. All right? You need someone you can trust to tell you like it really is. And what you can do, and you've heard me talking about them, my good friends at WeatherTech Renovations, they can help you. All you have to do is give them a call, and they will take a look, all right? They'll give you a free inspection so you can protect your home or business. 816-988-8957. 816-988-8957. Or check them out online, WTRenovations.com. I know the fellas there. You could trust them. And you don't want a small problem to become a big problem. And you don't want someone lying to you. That's, you know, that's all I have around me right now is people lying to me every day, every on this show. Nate, Jake, my wife, my kids.
No.
Everyone lies to me,
no,
all right?
No, don't.
But you know who doesn't lie to me? WeatherTech Renovations. They tell me the truth, thankfully.
Hail right? to the no, ooh, no, no.
That's right. You want you have some problems with the roof? You know, hell no, you don't want to get up there on your own.
Right.
You want WeatherTech Renovations. 816-988-8957. WTRenovations.com. Call them. Free inspection. They'll take care of you. Peace of mind. Tell them SSJ sent you. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Coming up, we'll talk to Jared Sutton. Nate Bukitti, where are you?
I am sitting here at the McFadden Studio in the Power and Light District where Dylan Michaels is busy moving boxes, putting beer bottles and cans into coolers. What else are you working on here, Dylan? What are you moving around right now? You got some koozies and things like that? You got some? He's got koozies.
Did he already go get
items.
your garbage from Starbucks?
He got me an almond milk mocha and a blueberry muffin.
It's good. That hot coffee in those wax cups is good for you.
Well, it seems like it's a paper cup.
What the inside line with poison inside that cup?
Wow.
Wish me luck. I hope I survive it.
Long term, you won't.
Well,
you're going to die.
You know what? Long term, so will all of us.
Okay. I am begging the listeners, stop. I'm not. I haven't asked for it. I don't want it.
What are you getting?
I made the mistake of opening it once. I'm not going to look at it anymore, and I'm not going to open it anymore because the first one I didn't know what it was, and I fell for it. It's not happening anymore. Stop sending me Araldis Chapman's IG post. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it anymore. I saw it the first time. I didn't know what it was. Now I know. You're not going to get me. I'm done. All right?
Are you?
Yes. I'm not going to look at it anymore.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Good. You shouldn't.
Send it to me, then.
No. Well, fine. Yeah, at Jake Goody if you want. If you want to, you know. Oh, look what Araldis Chapman's up to now. Great. Thanks.
Thanks, maybe. Chappie.
Yeah. I like Araldis Chapman because he led to Cole Reagan's.
That's right.
Okay? But I do not like the fact that he led to that IG post, and I don't want that anymore in my life.
I need to go find out what you're talking about now.
See, why do you want to see that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, if I'm telling you that I wish I hadn't seen it, and I don't want to see it anymore.
Now I'm just watching him doing some workout at the gym.
Good. Stick to that one. All right?
That's not the one?
I'm going to guess no, Nate.
Not if Steven's...
I'm going to guess I don't have a problem with him working out of the gym.
Well,
I don't know if
I'll stay away then.
Him on a couch. That's all.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't like, what is it? Why do people see that and they go, I'm going to send that to St. John? That's what he'd like to see. Why am I the first person that you think of when you see something like that on IG? I guess that's just the rep I've built in this town.
You did it to yourself.
Well, that's an awful IG post. Let me send this to St. John real quick and see what he says. I did do it to myself. You're right.
Right.
So. Kind of glad they traded him now. Really glad, but even happier. So.
I'm so intrigued now.
You shouldn't be.
I guess. But.
I'm intrigued by NFL free agency.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring on Jarrett Sutton.
Sure we are.
Nate's going to talk to him while I continuously refresh X until what I want to see happens. Everything okay down there?
I'm not navigating this IG very well. I don't know what I'm missing. I'm trying to find this.
No. Why are you trying to find it?
I imagine it's been pulled down.
I'm intrigued. I don't know if I'm at the right Aroldis Chapman.
I think probably on X you just... Why are you making me do this?
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, all you got to do is... I found it in 1 second on Twitter, so... No.
I must be spelling his name wrong.
It's kind of funny, but it's kind of not. I don't
quit looking so hard.
Oh!
Now I gotta go look.
What is going on? I don't even know what's going on. I don't know if we can break. I don't know what's going on. Just go to break. Don't
compose yourself, Nate.
Now.
You got a live read.
No.